to understand the history and the doctrine, and also how that we can get some spiritual application for us in these days. And we love you for these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, whoa, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to set that there, see if that helps it. Okay, we're at chapter 5, should wrap this up. I got 22 verses. Okay, remember that Lamentations historically is a record of what Jeremiah saw when Babylon or Iraqis conquered Jerusalem. So he's given a firsthand account of what he saw. At the same time, God used his words and what he saw and then threw in some prophecies. Okay, so Lamentation is past, but yet it's about the future. And when he throws in it at the end of chapter 4, verse 21 and 22, the idea of the land of Uz, that's modern-day Jordan, or the northern part of Saudi Arabia. So that is what brings us into the doctrine of the tribulation time period. So I don't know if you realize this, but we're in the second half of the tribulation, starting on September 2nd. That's what I learned a fellow believes, that goes to Rensselaer. Oh, no, he doesn't go there now, but so we're going to really have problems in the second half of this tribulation. Okay, and so, no, I don't believe that. Okay, but Lamentations will be describing it. Now, doctrinally, it might also help us to understand, especially when we get down to verse 9 about getting bread. Okay, doctrine is what provides us stability in our beliefs. Okay, doctrine would be the 16-inch stud, 16-inch stud, 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 what you don't see in a house because you put drywall, pretty drywall, on the outside. Okay, that's the instructions of the Bible. The studs or the studying of the Bible is what gives us stability. Therefore, somebody who tries to pull us into their belief system that is not scriptural, we easily can dispel those problems. Okay, and that's what doctrine does for us. Okay, but practically we want to try to apply some things also in our lives. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Okay, the us is Israel. And behold, our reproach. Okay, our plural pronoun. Our reproach. Now, he talks about a reproach in a letter that is the same time period, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and following. Okay, this one says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. Now, notice, as a Christian, not calling them Christians. That's the third and final time the word Christian is found in the Bible. The other two are in Acts. And if we're going to strictly stick with the Bible definition, Christian in the Bible is somebody who is saved, born again, that suffers for Christ. Today, a Christian is limited to salvation. So I've preached a message entitled Non-Christian Christians, where a person can be a Christian of today's definition and not be a Christian of the Bible definition. Okay, so, but here he's not calling them Christians, because 1 Peter doctrine is written to the strangers or to the Jews of the tribulation time period. Okay, but they're going to suffer like a Christian. But they're being reproached for the name of Christ. Okay, and of course, the Jews don't like the name Jesus Christ. And even today, they would face that reproach. Okay, chapter 5, verse 2. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. Okay, our inheritance, the inheritance of Israel. You go to the Christian bookstore and get the maps of the Bible maps, and they're not going to give the entire land grant of Israel's inheritance. They just won't do it. I don't know why they won't do it, but they don't do it. They don't give David's whole kingdom. They always shorten and give them that little small section what they have. And it's all divided up. The entire land grant is like a pyramid shape, okay? And it covers that entire region. It's what was promised to Abraham. And this individual says it's been turned to strangers. A stranger and an alien in a political context is a foreigner. Okay, we call them illegal aliens. Okay, and so is this, stepping outside into the spirit world? We're talking about aliens, Twilight Zone. I don't think so in the context we're looking at. Okay, but still, the idea of strangers and aliens are taking their land, so they're infiltrating Israel. Okay, historically it was the Iraq or Babylon, but doctrinally it's whoever's going to be in the tribulation. What happens to them, the Jews? We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. Okay, so we're orphans. Their parents got killed. Okay, this will take us to James chapter 1. And remember that James doctrinally is written about Jews who are scattered. And he tells these Jews who are scattered, the 12 tribes, chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy. Just like Peter said. These guys are kind of strange. They're saying, be happy about your persecution, your trouble that you're facing. Okay, that's tribulation doctrinally. And then if you look at the end of chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So why does he say fatherless and widows? Okay, and so this takes us back to Lamentations. The Bible is an amazing book. It's an amazing puzzle. And if you get all the corner edges put together in a puzzle, then you start working on the inside. And, of course, the best puzzle anybody can have is a two-piece puzzle. I remember Garfield and Jonathan, he had a two-piece puzzle, and he was really having a hard time getting it together. Okay, but this is what religion is, pure religion. Okay, religion in the Bible, in every case, is Judaism. And the reason why he says pure religion is this, visiting the fatherless and widows, is because even when we do something for somebody else, possibly down the road, they could do something back for us in favor. But when somebody does something to an orphan or a widow, there's most likely no payback. Okay, unless it's, a rich widow, I don't know. But in this case, there's no payback and a person is not looking for that. They're just looking to help somebody. And so that's why James is written that way. So in Lamentations 5, verse 3, they say they're orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Okay, so they're buying and drinking water. Okay, they've drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. They've got to buy their wood in order to heat or to cook. Our necks are under persecution. Why would they say our necks are under persecution? We are up to our neck, the reason why he's thrown in neck is because of the method of execution during the tribulation time period. And Revelation 20 verse 4 says the method is by beheading. If it was behind, we've even portrayed in our plays where the guillotine is used. Okay, and the our governing authorities have purchased guillotines, and Georgia has passed a law that the death can be done by a guillotine. But if a death is done by guillotine, that's not too bad, really. It's the way the Muslims do it that makes it tough. Was a slow cutting through the back of the neck with a knife, coming through and hitting the spinal cord, and then actually severing the head and holding it up. Voice of the Martyrs had a picture a couple years back of somebody that had a failed execution of that execution, where they started cutting through the back of his neck and got to the spinal column, and somehow the execution was interrupted. I don't know if somebody came in, shot him up, and the guy escaped and survived it. But the scars on the back of his neck was just amazing. Okay, and so that's why they're throwing this idea in here. Here in Lamentations, our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. So that's the danger that they're living, they will be living in the tribulation time period. Verse 6, we have given the hand to the Egyptians. Okay, so they've shaken hands. And to the Assyrians to be satisfied with the bread. Now, at the time of this writing, Assyria had already been conquered by Babylon. And so has Egypt. So this is why doctrinally it's jumping into the tribulation, where Egypt still is a major player over there. And the Assyrians would be either Syria or Iran. So they're major players in this event, as everything's coming to a head. And then he says, our fathers have sinned. Okay, yeah, that's right. They're going to mention that again at the end of the chapter. And are not, and we have borne their iniquities. So we are suffering from our fathers, parents. Okay, now this is a law of life. A lot of times people talk about, you know, the suffering of children. All of us as children suffered when our parents did wrong. All of us as children received blessings when our parents did right. That's just a natural law of life. Okay, nothing's changing that. It's just because we're under their authority, and if they make mistakes, then we are going to bear the, you know, some of the brunt of that, or that we're going to be affected. Okay, that's just life. That's just the way it is. We may not be held accountable for it. We're not held accountable for their sins or faults or whatever, but we do feel the effect of it. It's just like a coach that coaches a game and he makes a mistake and puts the wrong player in and doesn't call a timeout or what. The whole team suffers for his bad judgment, and the whole team is benefited from his wisdom. Okay, so in this case, we have borne their iniquities. Verse 8, servants have ruled over us. Okay, servants, somebody that actually should be serving them is ruling over them, over top of them. Doctrinally, the servants have ruled over us is a doctrinal picture of Hamites running the show. Now, the American news media is not going to tell us this, but there are over 20 African countries that have the death sentence on sodomy. Over 20 of them. If we did that, they'll go ballistic. And so they have these in order. And one, I remember reading or watching this small clip of a news media character of America talking to one of the presidents of one of these nations. And they're trying to put a guilt trip on this guy. You know, where's your compassion? Where's your love? And he didn't buy into it, man. He didn't back off. He just said, homosexuals are gross. It's disgusting. And boy, they just cut interview and we're done. Okay, and maybe this is the reason why Obama doesn't fly to Africa, to these countries. Maybe he might experience a death sentence. Okay, but the news media is not reporting this. Over 20 nations in Africa have passed those laws and have signed them and are executing those. Okay, and so here it's in that case, they're wise in what they're doing. But servants have ruled over us. Now, this is very unpopular, but if you go to South Africa when Mandela was coming in play and our news media put their nose in their business, and they push affirmative action, get those white Dutch from ruling South Africa and allow the blacks to have their right. When they gave into that, that country went to pot. And there are a lot of murders going on. And they didn't tell Americans about Nelson Mandela and Winnie, and one of their things that they promoted was necklacing. Okay, what's necklacing? That's when they take a tire, put it around their victim, a black individual usually, douse them with gasoline or diesel, torch them, and then they're going to be in flames, the tire's going to be in flames, and then they take spears and stab them until the person dies. That's necklacing. That's what Nelson Mandela and his wife Winnie were promoting as our Congress was falling over themselves that we're not racist. Okay, and so this is when servants get in charge and they ruin the country, as we're experiencing. And it says, servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Okay, now here's where this idea comes in on the what's called the famous Lord's Prayer. Okay, our Father which art in heaven, that a bunch of Gentiles, repeat in a monotone fashion to bring in more unclean spirits. Okay, but when they say that, give us our daily bread. Okay, now that's not anything any of us pray. Do any of us ever pray, oh God, give me my bread today, I'm kneading in bread today? No, like us, we got loaves of bread in the freezer. Okay, but there's a time period when somebody will be begging God for bread. And when they're down in the wilderness, you see, that's where they're at, verse 9. They're down in the wilderness. That's the wilderness they wandered, modern-day Saudi Arabia, Jordan. And they're out there hiding in Petra area, in the rock city. And they will go out in early morning hours and try to get some manna, just like they did in the Old Testament. But if they are out there too long and daylight comes up and the death cloud passes over, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the death cloud can throw out nuclear radiation on them and kill them. Okay, and so that's what they're praying about. Okay, and this is what, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Psalm 23. That's a millennial psalm. Where in the millennium, the Jews will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that area, and they're not going to have any fear because the Lord's on the throne in Jerusalem. And that's what they're talking about. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. If you would, try Micah chapter 7, verse 14. Did he wake up when I said his name? Micah 7, 14. Okay, the wanderings in the wilderness is history from our perspective, but it is also future prophecy from God's perspective. Micah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, we know that this is way past Exodus, 700 B.C. And it says, feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood. In the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. So it's talking about feeding the Jews, miraculously feeding them, getting water from a rock, taking the manna, being able to survive, because they haven't taken the mark of the beast, the number of the beast, or living either on black market or the kindness of others, or they're out in here trying to survive. And so the writer here of Lamentations is saying, we get our bread with the peril of our lives. They could be killed at any time because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. Remember, tribulation, 3.5 year famine. Rain doesn't come down at the appropriate time of year. I don't know if it's a complete wipeout of water for 3.5 years. Or if it's like the famine of Joseph's day where it just didn't rain during the growing season of the corn. where they were still, the trees still produced fruit, nuts and so forth like that, but it was called a famine of bread. No wheat, rice, corn or sorghum or anything like that. So our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. I don't know if it's the heat, lack of food, skin's getting darker, okay, or whatever is going on. Verse 11, they ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the city of Judah. Okay, this is allowed under the Muslim faith. Okay, when a man has four wives, that's the max he can have. But when they come in and have jihad, then they can have their sexual fantasies with any of the women and the girls or whatnot, and they're still accepted, allowed in the Muslim faith. Okay, where this is why you do not want females in the military. Not on the front line, at least, because that's going to happen when they get captured. Okay, it's going to happen to that. If they know that, and they do decide that, okay, that's their business. Okay, but that's a basically just obvious, no-brainer type thing. Okay, they ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. Okay, so they're coming into the land, conquering them, going from house to house, urban warfare. And of course, our military is practicing that quite often. Verse 12, princes are hanged up by their hand. Okay, when we see the word hand, we're thinking like this, you know, one hand, wrist, it could be thumb, could be finger. Okay, but obviously they're out there hanging them. Okay, and they're hanging them in the sun. Princes are hanged up by their hand. The faces of the elders were not honored. They don't care about them. They took the young men to grind. And the children fell onto the wood. Okay, so they're kidnapping, taking the children. This is what Daniel experienced, but he didn't experience this aspect. Daniel was taken as a captive, but yet he was trained in the Babylonian ways. They tried brainwashing him. Okay, in this one, the elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. So in the gate, they're no longer in their political position. The children, verse 13, if you would, try Joel chapter 3. Daniel, Hosea, Joel chapter 3, it shows what they will do with the boys and girls. This is the only time the word boy and girl is in the same verse. I think it's the only verse in the Bible, boy and girl. Okay, in chapter 3, let's get our context, verse 1 of Joel. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, so we can see it. Hopefully you see that. We're dealing with second coming. Okay, they're being restored to Israel, second coming of Christ. I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And will plead with them for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Okay, so that's Matthew 25, judgment of the nations. The Lord sets up the judgment of the nations. What have they been doing with the children of Israel, the kids? Verse 3, they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. So the kids are just chattel, selling them off. For any desire that they choose. Okay, so that's how bad it gets. Verse 15 of Lamentations 5. It says, the joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. Okay, that's a no-brainer. The dance turned into mourning. You ever see them Jewish telethons where they get dancing and jumping up and down? It's kind of funny to watch them. And they really get jumping all over the place. And David Ben Judah, and they're going around like this and trying to get all this money. You can find some on the internet. It's kind of funny to watch that. Verse 16, it says, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. What sin? What sin in particular? Okay, it says, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. Okay, desolate. The word desolate, Isaiah 62:4. It's so bad that that word is an uppercase D, and it's called desolate for the land. Isaiah 62, verse 4. Okay, where it says in verse 3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, uppercase F. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, uppercase D. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. That's where the Hephzibah house gets their name. And thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Okay, so that's obviously second coming. That's the great promise of the restoration of Israel. Okay, 19. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Okay, yeah, good. In the midst of all that, thou will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So, thinking about the Lord. And verse 20, wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? That's how they're feeling. Okay, that question is all through the Psalms. How long, O Lord? How long? How long, O Lord? How long? Okay, and if they know the calendar system, they're going to know. He says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. That's a great prayer. Okay, if you feel your heart is wandering from the Lord, ask the Lord to turn you unto him. Ask the Lord to turn your heart unto him. Now, our Calvinist friend says, well, no man can come to Christ except the Spirit draws him. Okay, how about this? Ask the Spirit to draw me. Okay, that's what Song of Solomon says. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So when we get those inclinations, those feelings, throw up a prayer to God. Lord, please draw me to yourself. Why? Because temptation starts, James 1, when we are drawn away from him. And so we pray, God, draw my heart to you. Good daily prayer. So they're praying, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. So they're praying, turn us to you, Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Renewal, revival. But thou hast utterly rejected us, thou art very wroth against us. Why did he reject them? Well, he told us back in chapter 1, he rejected them because they rejected his words. Everything comes right back to this book. That's what Jeremiah had been telling them over and over. And that's what he was telling them here in Lamentations. The reason why God has rejected you is because you rejected his words. 1 Samuel 15:26. That's why God rejected Saul from being the first king of Israel. When he's the king all that time, it says that God rejected him because he rejected God's words. That's the bottom line. And that's the bottom line of every nation. Okay, America, when America commissioned Congress to publish the first Bible to this nation, it was a King James Bible back in 1780s, maybe 1790s. And now you go to the churches and you'd be fortunate to even find the King James Bible in most of the churches. They've rejected it. They rejected the Word of God. They've gone all these new versions. Okay? And so that's God's bill of divorcement on a people. And so that's why we got to stick with this old book. Okay, so that's chapter 5, 22. That's the end of that. Any questions or comments?